Check one, two, check one, two. All right, we are seeing it on the All right, I think we will get started. There's only five of us here in the room. There's more of you online. Welcome, online folks. Nice to see you. So this is going to be relatively informal. This is a meeting, as you can see from my slide. Well, folks in the room can't see it because your beautiful faces are in front of it. But it is basically just a meeting. And so we are going to Start with welcome and introductions, and then we'll go into our meeting. And I'm gonna, whoops, I have two slides. Where's my second slide? Here's my second slide. This is the entirety of this presentation. It's this one slide. I am going to, as I said, start with welcome and introductions. And I wanted to find out if we have any first-time Wolfconners. Fantastic. Welcome. I have a couple in the room. Any online virtual first-timer Wolfconners? I don't know. Maybe. Well, we're going to have you go around and introduce yourselves. So I want to go around and have everyone introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about, well, start with your name and your institution and where you are in the Folio journey. That can be anywhere from Folio curious to fully implemented, first institution ever to implement. And I'm going to start with myself and then hand it to my co-convener, Cornelia, who's in Germany now working very diligently, taking attendance and going to be doing minutes and monitoring the chat for me. So my name is Susan Kimball. I'm the head of access services at Amherst College, and I am the co-convener with Cornelia for the RA SIG. I am part of five colleges, and we implemented it in July of 22 with Kiwi. Cornelia, you want to go next? And we can, I'm going to start with the folks in the Zoom room and have y'all pass it to each other as you go so we know who's next.
Okay, hey everyone. I'm Cornelia. I'm a systems librarian at the University Library in Mainz, Germany. We are hosting several university library and several smaller libraries, and we are currently live with two Folio circulation libraries and are planning to migrate some more. So, David, go on.
Sure. I am David Bodorf. I am a collection management and circulation services librarian at University of Chicago Library. I've been participating in this project since before it was Folio, since Chicago was one of the three libraries that implemented Olay, which is a sort of shadowy predecessor in some ways to Folio, at least in spirit. And we actually just went live with Ramsons last weekend, just before the quarter started. So we are and we've been on Folio fully for all aspects of the module since January 2022. And who is next here? Looks like MC Mac, who is having troubles, camera and mic issues.
MC, are you there? Or we can move to someone else.
MC is having mic camera mic issues. It's in the chat.
Okay.
They them from the University of Kansas, and we are about to begin our migration journey. Go live with Folio is expected to be sometime June 2026. And then it would be Franziska.
Hi, so my name is Franziska. I'm relatively new in the or still relatively new in the Folio universe. So I'm from the University Library in Leipzig. So probably you know my colleague Lisa Pechermeyer or maybe also Björn Muschall. So I started in Leipzig in March this year, and I'm the product owner of our development team. So in Leipzig we have an little software development team in the scope of a project which has the goal to prepare the University of Leipzig for the big go live, hopefully beginning of 28. So that's our timeline. We have a close connection with University Library in Dresden. So those are somehow joint forces. Nevertheless, there the developers will to start beginning of next year, and let's say our state is so single applications are already live, but the big go live is as said planned for beginning of 28, and at the moment we are checking on trying to close the last gaps so that the go live and start is as smooth as possible for all employees within the library. Who's still missing? Who could be next? Just checking.
Maybe Aaron can
Aaron,
go.
yeah, I think, yeah, Aaron.
Hello, I'm Aaron Weller. I'm head of access services at Michigan State University. We share a tenant with the Library of Michigan that's located in Lansing, the state capital. We are currently using ramps since getting ready to switch over to Sunflower. We've been live since June of 2022. And I've been participating with this SIG and a couple others for a couple years before that, just getting ready before we went live. But I find this group very useful and encourage others to continue attending.
Can we move to White K?
Sure, that would be a logical order since I'm from the Library of Michigan. I'm Karen White, Access Services Librarian, and Erin just described most of what I would say also because we share the system. So yeah, we've been on Folio for 3 years, and we're just in the midst of a what feels like almost a whole new go live with both of us at the same time, both libraries going on to back onto our consortial borrowing program called MELCAT using the inReach system. So we're using the D2IR API and just going through some of the bumps with going live of that in the last couple weeks here.
Thanks, Karen.
You
Jacob, I'm going
bet.
to put you on the spot. Can you just do a quick intro of what's your name, where you're at, and where you are in your Folio journey? If you're there. If not, I'm going to move into the room.
It looks like we have an iPhone user. I don't know who that is, also on here.
Yeah, if the iPhone user wants to introduce themselves, that'd be great. If not, totally understand. I'm going to hand it to Tom to introduce. We only have four folks in the room.
Hi, sorry. I'm late. I'm the iPhone user.
No worries. Can you just introduce yourself, give us your name,
Sure.
institution, and where you are on your Folio journey?
Sure. Louisa Cywinski, Villanova University. We went live in January 2023. And yeah, we've seen a few releases, and I guess that's about it.
Great. Thanks, Louisa.
I, oh, I'm
Welcome.
sorry. I'm in Access Services.
Glad to have you. All right. Now we'll move to the room.
Hi, as you were talking to me a moment ago,
Go ahead, Jacob.
I am at Northwest Missouri State University, and we're part of the Mobius Consortium. And I'm the head of Access Services here. We just went live in the summer of 24 with Folio.
Great. Thank you. All right, Tom, take it away.
That's okay. I'm Tom Trott. I'm with Cornell University. I'm the Folio application manager. My job is split into two halves. One is supporting the Folio application at Cornell University, which is being a go-between between our users and our hosting provider, EBSCO. For updates, any issues that come up, that sort of thing. And the other half of my position is in the community, There, I'm the PO for fee fines, item statuses, automated patron blocks, I believe locations, I'm not sure, but about five or six different things. I work with Anne, who is the PO for requests and a few other things, and the Vega development team, who is primarily over the circulation modules within Folio. We've been live on Folio for quite a few years. Unfortunately, I cannot ever remember the date. We are Ramson's Service Pack 5, and we're actually about to be updated to 6 on Tuesday when I get back. They were going to try to do it today.
Don't do it today. Hi, I'm Kristen Caton with the University of Kansas. I'm the Library Access Coordinator, and we had our first implementation kickoff meeting on Friday. Like Mac, we will be going live next summer, sometime in June. So we are just starting our journey.
Hello, my name is Megan Witt, and I'm with the University of Missouri. I'm actually an MLIS student, and they decided to bring me here. So I'm happy to be here, but I also work in the Digital Initiatives Department underneath our librarians.
Fantastic. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Maura Byrne. I'm part of the University of Chicago, and I'm sitting in on the RASIG meeting here because the sort of systems person who was, you know, sort of our RASIG liaison retired last year. And I've been kind of trying to quietly step in to make sure that their work is still getting done. So I'm just here to listen.
I'm going to leave that microphone out there. If you have it turned off, Maura, you could just set it down. Yeah, and Maura works really closely. User management works very closely with resource access. So I'm really glad that she's able to be here. So thank you, everybody. It's really lovely to meet y'all and some regulars and some new folks. So today we want to talk a bit about an idea that came up at an RASIG meeting as we were thinking about how do we want to use our time here. It is an opportunity for us to get together and see each other in real life when most weeks we are just seeing each other in little boxes. Not to disparage those in little boxes today. We're glad to have you as well. And at the brainstorming session, we thought the idea came up that we could develop a survey for Folio implementers to gauge the relative interest in development areas within resource access's umbrella. Our umbrella is large. You know, there are some SIGs that have a one-to-one relationship with an app. Maybe it's only Maura, but users has a users app, and that is the realm, and it touches lots of things. It touches everything, but it is one app. In our role, in contrast, is we cover so many apps, check in, check out, requests. We even touch users, even though we don't have primary responsibility for it. And fees and fines, which is also in users for the moment. And so we wanted to get a sense of how many libraries are using these different tools. Now, probably everybody is using check in and check out. But beyond that, it could be, it's really unknown. There's sort of this unknown, especially with newer libraries that are coming online. So I think it would be helpful for us, we thought, to have a better sense of how many libraries are using different features to get a sense of when we have a gap list and there's an item on the gap list that people want to see developed, is that going to impact one library or 150 libraries? And use that as part of our one factor, not the only factor, but one factor in our prioritization process, which we are sort of iterating on right now and trying to figure out how best to figure out which priorities we should be focusing on. So we thought it would be a good topic to have here because we thought that we might have some new folks who haven't been using Folio yet or are just starting. And we wanted to talk about kind of what we think about as our goals, what others might have ideas about the goals, and then what we should include in this survey. At this conference, in prior sessions, I learned that the Implementers SIG, which is another special interest group, is also interested in creating a survey of implementers. I was like, okay, well, maybe we should partner on this. So we all know about survey fatigue, and we're literally targeting exactly the same libraries in this effort. So I had this idea we could partner with them and figure that out. Their goal is to develop a directory of libraries that are using Folio. I think with the idea of something similar, like what are they using? What are the details? Like what discovery system they have, whatever, so that we can find each other. Because I think the different configurations, like are you self-hosted, are you vendor-hosted, et cetera. This is just literally an idea, but I wanted to put that out there that there is this possibility that we could piggyback and partner with their plans as well. Again, if we can make it not a 100-page survey and it meets the same needs. So let's talk first about our goals. One primary goal is outreach to newer Folio libraries. One of the issues that we've had in engagement in the RA SIG is that it's harder to identify and encourage newer libraries to come join us in our party. And some of that I think has to do with the vendor hosted nature of sort of how Folio is being marketed. For folks that have been here from the beginning, it was always an open source project. And so we always knew that engagement and participation in the community was not just a privilege, but a responsibility. And I think that's not always coming through. Now, that said, I did not really have time to be active in the community until after we implemented. Like, it just wasn't happening. Even though the idea seemed great, there just wasn't time because implementation took everything I had. So we want to determine how many libraries are using Folio apps and features to inform prioritization, as I mentioned. So essentially, those are the two main goals, like figure out prioritization and then, or figure out what people are using, and then also have an opportunity to kind of get this group of libraries that we think are using Folio and ask them to tell us who they are, what they're doing, et cetera. So I'm curious if there's anyone who has other, like those are the primary goals I can think of, but I'm curious if there are other things that a survey, whether it's just a resource access survey or a full survey of all implementers beyond RA, what are there other goals that I'm not thinking of or we're not thinking of? And Cornelia's monitoring folks online so she can tell me if anybody raises their hand. Or you can just speak up. All right. So the...
Oh, I was just about to say something. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Louisa.
Yeah, Louisa from Villanova. And one thing I wondered is there a way to access training in one place? You know, here's all the different trainings you can choose from. I'm sorry, I don't know where to find it if it does exist.
Do you mean, what do you mean by training, like available?
Training on Folio apps.
Okay.
So if I hire a new person or if, somebody's going to take on something new that they didn't do before, just wondering if that's out there.
Maura has her hand raised and she has the microphone.
And I have the microphone. I could have just jumped in if I wanted. Thinking of that thing about training, we keep talking about or at least I keep hearing about, eliminating duplicative work. And one of the things that I think that every institution does is they have their own form of training. And maybe that's, a thing perhaps that RA SIG or implementer SIG would be interested in kind of pulling together is like, because how we do things is going to be incredibly specific to your institution. And it could be that how it looks and how the work seems to flow is going to be a little bit different for each institution. So it could be that, we could have something basic, but that it might not necessarily work for you.
David, and then I'll send it over to Tom.
Yeah, I was just gonna sort of add to that there is a central, there's the documentation, which is always a work in progress, and probably maybe needs a little bit more there. But I think that's something that people aren't necessarily always aware of as new Folio members, that there is a central Folio documentation about sort of how everything works. I would tend to agree with Maura that I'm not sure that there's a one size fits all training that would work well enough for enough people that have that the time and investment in that would be the best place. But the documentation, some of that duplicativeness, does feel like there's a lot of opportunity there.
I would say documentation. Actually, oddly enough, I tried this a while back. If you ask Copilot about the Folio application, and then, or if you reference specifically the Folio application and then ask it a question, it's actually scraped our wikis and documentation and will sometimes actually come up with a fairly decent answer and actually point to the references. Generalized training is kind of hard because the workflows are so different between libraries. I mean, even at Cornell, we have workflow differences between our 13 units that can sometimes cause unified training to be a pain. So just duplicate that up to 300. But I think it's a good idea. The implementer SIG is trying to put together some workflow documentation and a workflow sharing place where that libraries can share their specific workflows and how they're doing things. So I think that could be a good place, the documentation that David mentioned is a good place, but it's also something that possibly the RA and even implementers could look at. I know Cornell has a wiki where we have a circulation training manual. We have training for our tech services. It's all open, but gathering those resources from the community and putting them in a central location for new implementing libraries that they can go and reference and look through them. I know it'll be a lot to dig through, but it's at least a starting space. I don't know. Part of the idea I kind of have from this too is like, it'd be kind of nice to have a generalized training specifically, I guess, maybe like in orders and inventory of from the PO's perspective and from the dev's perspective, this is how we expect the app to function, or this is the general flow that we expect people to use. I know in our institution, one of the sticking points in like orders and POLs is at what point can you do things and not do things? And I think having some of that general overview might be nice. I know as a PO though, we're swamped with work. So that's also a little bit more difficult.
Right. And I think that, we're all sort of pointing up the difference between documentation and training. Because, training always strikes me as something that's always a little bit more dynamic, even if it's a bunch of people in a room with one person up in the front showing how it's done. Or a bunch of people in a room all with their own terminals and a person in front showing how it's done and everybody else trying to duplicate it. And that's a little different, I think, than how we have the documentation set. Yeah. If there could be some kind of dovetail between the two, because the documentation strikes me as something that can either give you a sense of what's out there, or if you're trying to remember a thing, and you need to look up that thing, you know, the docs are great for that. So yeah, it seems like we've got two things that kind of work together, but we haven't really worked to put them together. And that's, it sounds like another SIG, to be honest, another working group, because, you know, RA SIG could have, you know, they want training. Yes. So does implementers. So do users. So does everybody else. And, you know, we all have sort of our own, you know, we all have our own sort of homewritten stuff. But if we wanted something that was like, you know, welcome to Folio, here's how you do things, then that sounds a lot like something that, again, you know, members of SIGs, you know, or at least a SIG would not necessarily be able to just do.
So. Yeah, and I would just add to that that there are some other solutions out there. I know, like at this conference, there was a pre-conference that Tara Barnett from Index Data did, a kind of a condensed version of overview of how to use Folio in a half a day. And so there are things like that at conferences, and there's also other vendors have, you know, have trainings as well. So EBSCO has trainings if you're hosted. I think there are some more sort of tools out there. But it is a good point, Louisa, that it is a tricky thing. Yeah, Tom.
And I was going to say that I think that's part of the problem. I want to kind of reiterate again. It's like when I was trained on Voyager, like Voyager was seemed very static. So it felt like there was only one way of doing things. Like that was the way you could do it. That was it. You can deviate from this pattern. So the training was very straightforward. With Folio, because it is so customizable and you can change so many settings in the way Folio reacts, there is no straight path. It's like, okay, you can start on path A, then you can go to path B, but then you can go to D, then you can go back to C. So that also makes the documentation and training for Folio very, very difficult.
Agreed.
Thanks. That also makes why Folio is such a good product.
I agree. I came from Voyager as well. And we are, I think, in a place with Folio that, you know, we've established procedures and they might vary from other libraries. So I get that. But if there were at least a, you know, basic introduction or overview type of training, I still think it would be useful.
Yeah, thank you.
Also keep in mind that libraries want training material in their own languages.
Agreed.
Good point.
Here we are at the World Open Library Foundation Conference.
Isn't there an app for that? Yeah. A translation app?
Folio. It's powerful, it's flexible, and it's super complicated because of the first two.
All right, so let's circle back to the idea of a survey. We've talked about our goals of engaging newer libraries and determining kind of who's using what kinds of features or what kinds of apps. So the question of what to include in terms of what to ask about. And I think the basic sort of demographics of a library are some of the things I'm thinking about. So the basics of what's the library, who are the contacts with a T, and current SIG participation. So that we could try say like, and again, this might change if we decide to do this in conjunction with the implementers, but I wrote this before I knew about that. So thinking about like, how do you engage with the SIG right now? Like, never heard of it, I'm there every meeting, and anywhere in between. And more broadly with the community. So some people are engaged with the community, they might participate in Bugfest, but they might not come to SIG meetings, that sort of thing. information about whether they're hosted, so self-hosted, vendor hosted, etc. I didn't put this on my little list, but I'm going to add discovery, just because I think that's a good piece of information to have. So what discovery layer? That I know that when implementers does that, you're probably going to be interested in that. The discovery sig also has some outdated version of that, like who's using what discovery layer. Whether folks are part of a consortium or standalone, and if a consortium, are they using ECS or not, enhanced consortial support, or are they just in one tenant? And then the question I have sort of, so those seem pretty straightforward to me. I don't know if there are more kind of identifiable, like what I would consider library demographics of like what your situation is. But then the question of like what level of detail to ask about what people are using. Is it just at the app level? Is it, you know, there are some that are, there's some detail, like are you using requests? And if so, are you using title level requests or item level requests? Those sorts of things. But I'm curious what folks think about what level of detail and what to, if there's anything else to include that we would want to know about to achieve these two goals that we have.
Can I jump in?
Of course.
Okay. Well, I think if you're going to have a survey, it should give you what you want out of it. And so the level of detail to me is important because of the fact that people use it in many different ways. And, you know, if we really want to see a clear picture of how each library uses the apps, then I think some detail would be good. Maybe not too granular, but some detail.
I would add to the library demographics, I don't think you mentioned library size. And that can make such a huge difference in what people's needs are and how they participate. I don't know, maybe number of staff would be a good indicator. You know, I saw a presentation yesterday where someone said they had 40 catalogers. We have 40 staff for the whole entire library, less than 40. So, you know, it does make a lot of difference.
Right.
Agreed.
I would like to vote for the, so it's lucky, funny that you said title level request, because that instantly came to my mind when you were talking about it. So I think this level of detail might be helpful, especially if maybe this data or the outcome of the survey is then also accessible for, let's say, the community. Because especially maybe libraries who are still preparing their go live or who are also developing. So such information could be really helpful. So to just to have an idea. So if you think about, is title level request something that might be helpful for us, then it's of course nice if you can directly see how, who's using it already, how long, or also are you part of a consortia? So for some of the developments that might be interesting to know, what's the percentage of libraries organized in the consortium? So I think, and of course it's hard to define where to stop, so to not to get too granular, but at least some, let's say, main functionalities might be really helpful for, let's say, own decisions, finding contacts to discuss detailed questions, but also to have an idea regarding percentages for development, so what's how relevant for development.
Yeah, thank you for that. Tom has the microphone and then Maura.
Mont.
Yeah. They're fighting over the microphone.
That's why I sat next to her. So we can easily pass it back and forth. So I know past and implementers, some of the demographics, I have things about demographics and I have a suggestion. They collected library size. So the number of libraries or the number of locations within a unit, general collection size, print collection and electronic collection, staff size, number of patrons, general like circulation a year. So like 80, 90,000 a year or 10,000 a year. Those were some of the demographics that they collected. And if you go to the implementers page, that stuff is on there for implemented libraries, as well as discovery layer, that sort of thing. If they use OCLC, if they don't, if they export to another catalog, do they primarily use MARC? My kind of like idea is, I'm wondering, as I know implementers said that they wanted to help with this, but I'm also wondering too, is with the PC and TC and the CC are looking at community-driven development. And part of that is identifying like quote unquote core apps of Folio, or that's one of the ideas that's floating around there. And I actually wonder if the data being collected via this type of survey would help drive some of the stuff that they want to do. And case in point, if this should be actually suggested to PC that they start the survey process and collect the metadata for all the libraries and then pass down to the individual SIG. So RA, we want you to collect app usage within your area. And we want you to collect app usage within your area. So we're going to probably end up with a 100-page survey, but I think we get a very good view of who's using Folio and how.
Okay. Okay. I had this amazing genius thought while we were talking about being, you know, having a quick survey or having a thorough survey. So the genius thought is that, you know, when you're going through a bit, you know, you have some, you know, the questions that you really want to have the answers to initially, like, you know, three or four of them for like an app. And then you can have a bit where it says, would you like to elaborate or go into greater detail? And if somebody says yes, they go into a different, you know, that they go into an additional bit of survey for that app. And then they can come back. So, you know, if we've got, you know, somebody who's, you know, who wants to go into greater detail about resource access, then they can. And if they could not care less about metadata management or, you know, serials receiving or whatever else, you know, is going on, then, you know, they're free to skip it. You know, would you like to elaborate? No. Great. We'll go on to the next thing. What are you using? This, you know, would you like to elaborate? No. How about resource access? This. Would you like to elaborate? Yes. And, you know, and it can sort of like, so that someone taking a survey who wants sort of their part known can say, you know, I'm not sitting through 100 pages of this survey. I'm just going to talk about, you know, I want to elaborate here, and then otherwise I'll just say the other stuff. So that's
okay. David has his hand up.
I was going to say, I mean, I think that Tom and Maura are both sort of saying in different ways what I was going to say. And I think actually Tom's approach ultimately is the one that appeals to me more in terms of like there's a larger, you know, umbrella survey, and then each individual SIG is asked to learn more about each other, because ultimately one single survey, even if like you can go into more information about RA, you can't go into more information in metadata management, just from my own experience of filling out those kinds of surveys at Chicago, you end up just having to get like 15 people into a room, and then you have to make copies of the survey and distribute. If you want to provide that level of detail for all of your areas, as I think many libraries would, you either end up, you know, submitting 16 copies of the survey or one copy of the survey. And then, you know, so I'm just thinking on the back end, you're going to have a lot of data cleanup. If you allow for multiple submissions, and then you're going to have, it's going to be really hard on the member institutions if you do it the other way. So something where you could say, here, this is just for your RA folks. You know, just here, RA folks, you just answer these questions. You don't have to worry about any of the rest of this. You don't need to worry about collection size or distribution, et cetera. I think the more it can be sort of separated out and distributed separately, I think that is going to give us better answers.
Yeah. Tom, we're at 5 minutes to go, so I just want to time check.
Yep. Actually, I forget. I want to say it was the Easy Proxy survey. We had one that I kind of liked, and I'm wondering if it could be a pattern, is we get one survey Actually, we get a few surveys. We get one survey and we have to pass it around to like 6 or 7 different people. It saves our answers from the previous year. So we can actually refer back and say, yes, this has changed. This hasn't changed.
ACRL.
Yes. That's the one. Yes. That thing. I knew it was one of them. So I'm wondering, like, I think one of these things, and that actually, that's one reason why I said maybe PC, or actually even implementers could probably pick this up under PC or something, is if we could design, I think the design of the surveys would be key. Having the different sections, like Mara said, and having that it can be, it's one survey per institution, but people can jump around in it and fill out the sections that they need to be able to fill out. And then breaking it down. If you say, do you use fine fees? Yes. Do you collect overdue fines? Do you collect loss fines? Do you do the incremental fine fee reports, that sort of thing? So we can break down into more detail as we need it. But yeah, we're going to have to get a survey designer.
Yeah, I'd say. Other thoughts about what to include? I think these are some good ideas. I think we're going to have to... there's going to be more conversation with implementers, maybe with PC or community council, to think about how, like, could this be distributed so that, because for the demographic data about the library, every survey is going to need that. So the question is, can we consolidate that and then do the rest separately?
Don't we have access to this demographic information from ACRL?
It depends, sort of. If people are ACRL libraries, the problem is we're global. And maybe there's a European ACRL.
There is a suggestion. Sorry, Luisa.
Go ahead, Cornelia.
In chat, there is the suggestion to... let library staff that specializes in surveys can contribute to this.
Yes, agreed.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, oh, and David says to make it replicable, so we could use it in several times in every year or so.
We could just do it once.
I also wanted to add that. If it should serve our need to help prioritization, we need a certain level of detail. Like Tom suggested, yeah, what kind of fees do you use? Do you use transfers or whatever? Do you use H2 lost? And in what ways do you use recalls or just holds and all this stuff? Because otherwise it won't help us a lot defining our priorities.
Exactly. So in our last couple minutes, I had some ideas about how we would distribute this. It seems like we kind of have to take a step back, but we know that Slack is one of our primary communication tools, so that's one we would use for distribution. Circulation and access listservs, so listservs that are where we might not know someone's using Folio, but we might be able to find folks that way. Contacts from hosting vendors, so how to find all the hosted folks, and then direct to Folio Libraries Access Services staff. So now that there are 300 libraries, I don't know how feasible it is to look up all the access heads of access services or directors of access or access services coordinators, et cetera, for all those libraries, but that would be sort of the next phase. So there's lots of ways to figure out who are the people, but because we're such a distributed community, I don't think there exists a list that is truly all Folio users. There may be even Folio users that the community doesn't know about because they could have just downloaded it. So I think there's a lot to think about how to get this word out. And that's an area where the PC or community council could be helpful as well. And we would also want to coordinate, so we're only getting one response per institution. So that's definitely something to think about. So we are about at time. I want to invite folks. We were hoping to have a little time for Q&A, but if folks have questions after, I can stay on for a few minutes. But I also want to invite new folks to our to an RA-SIG meeting that we're going to have on November 3rd. We meet every Monday and Thursday at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Not every one of those meetings happens. So if you're not on the Resource Access Slack channel, I encourage folks to join because Cornelia or I will post the agenda and whether or not a meeting is happening. But on November 3rd, which is a regular Monday meeting, we will be having an introduction to being part of the Folio community and participating in the RA-SIG for folks that are interested. So we'll be spreading that kind of far and wide in this effort to try to engage more folks who are maybe new to the community. Any final questions? All right. I would like to thank Cornelia for doing notes and doing attendance. And thank you all the Zoom folks who are online. It was great to have you. And we will hopefully see you at a future SIG meeting. And thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Take care.
I'm going to watch you.